had to say we're starting a new sugya, new paragraph in the Masechta. It's a whole new limud. So we'll try to start the beginning case of Mevarchen. We'll see how it goes. We'll try to go in terms of understanding the lumbus of the sugyas, and obviously get some case of Mevarchen is a paragraph that very much lends itself to a halacha maisa discussion as well. So again, we'll try to see how the limud goes. So we begin with the opening lines in the Daflam and Ham and Aleph, the first words of the Mishnah. So what bracha does a person recite on different fruit? So the Mishnah delineates how peris and ilan who omer berper eitz, on the fruit of the tree, make berper eitz, chutz min hayayin, shal yayin who omer berper agofen, wine of course is the exception to the rule, you make a special bracha berper agofen, al peris oretz omer berper adoma, on the fruit that grows in the ground, vegetables, someone recites berper adoma, chutz min hapas, even though wheat and bread grows in the ground, the bracha pas is different, shal hapas, omer hamotzelech min oretz, well, how your rockles are more berper adama. So, peris aretz and your rockles are slightly different from one another. Your rockles are more greeny, leafy kinds of things. Peris aretz are more like potatoes and carrots, those kinds of stuff. Well, your rockles are more berper adama. If you don't burn, you destroy. Except to know what the precise bracha for the leafy, greeny kinds of vegetables are. So, comes to mind, raises the first basic, fundamental question, which is really going to be the beginning of our sugya. Minu ani mili. Where in the world did all of this come from? Why are we reciting brachas in the first place? What is the source of the institution of brachas, particular as a man in bracha b'shayna? So the Tanna Rabbanan, what's a brisa? Kedei shigulim Hashem, malamech tu'unim bracha lifneim ul'achareim. It says in Parshas Kedoshim, in the context of Orla, the first 3 years fruit is off limits. It's also b'achil also b'hano. And in the fourth year, it's kodesh, it's holy. What exactly do you do with it? So in the Toshua Sabbath, it's not clear exactly what you do with it. So the Toshua Fe explains to us that what you do with it is you actually bring it to Shalayim. It has the same status as Maisa Sheni, and you can actually redeem it similar to Maisa Sheni. We're going to talk a lot about Ravoi. It's called Netter Ravoi, Kerem Ravoi, a little bit later on, because it's going to play a major role in terms of the background of Brachas. But at this point, the Gemara is just picking up on the Lashanat Pasuk. Kodesh Hilul Hashem. Hilul is a Lashon Hil, Shabbat, the praise of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So this teaches us that when you eat any fruit, not just a holy fruit of the fourth year, any fruit that you eat, you have to be Mahal like Kodesh Baruch Hu. And since the Lashon Hilul is written in a plural, so it requires a Hilul Lefneim Ulecharev. This is the source that there are a Bracha Rishon and a Bracha Charon. Bikadam Rabbi Akiva. Also, the Yom Shidam Kum Kodesh Shivarach. From here, Rabbi Akiva derives that one is not permitted to eat anything before one recites a Bracha, Bracha Rishonim. So, we have to stop already and raise the first question. Just how serious is this line of the Gemara? Just how serious a drasha does the Gemara think this is? Does the Gemara think this is a dinmit araisa? Now, it's always tricky, because whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk, our initial reaction is that it's most probably a dinmit araisa, but our initial reaction is not always the correct reaction. It's always possible, in the back of our minds, we may always think and maybe all the Gemara means is, it's just an asmachta bi'alma. The Gemara is merely quoting a pasuk, almost a support, to allude, to hint, to a din that's only fundamentally with the Rabbanan. You can never quite tell, when the Gemara quotes a pasuk, does it really mean a deraiso, or is it perhaps just a derabbanan with an asmachta? So, but very often from the context of the sugya, it becomes apparent which way, and here it's very, very clear. From the next question, the Gemara asks, V'hai kodesh ibu v'hachidi yosa. Is that really what the phrase Kodesh Elul means? It means something totally different. And the Gemara goes off to a whole tangent about different dinim that are derived from the phrase Kodesh Elul. No, so now that we see the Gemara's kasha, let's go back to our suffix in Mishnah the Gemara. We quote the Braisa, quoted the Pasuk, and we weren't sure whether the Pasuk meant as a real deraisa or whether it meant as only a derabbanan with asmachta. Can we now tell from the Gemara's kasha what the Gemara thought? What can we see now? What can we tell from the Gemara's kasha? Gemara quoted a braisa, the braisa quotes the pasuk. The Gemara says, "No, the pasuk doesn't mean that; it means something else." If you hold, let's think it through. Clearly, it's havin is a deraisa. If the havin mean was just that it's an asmachta the alma, that's a very, very weak kasha. Means, what do you need the pasuk for this? You need it for something else. I never meant that I need the pasuk for this. If the pasuk was only in asmach to the alma, then the Gemara never would have phrased such a seemingly irrelevant question. So it's clear as day that the Gemara thinks at this stage of the sugya that the source of this pasuk is a real bona fide din d'araisa, and the very institution of birchas neder is a d'araisa, and the mocha being hilulim, kedish hilulim, kachrev alacha kedish hilulim. However, the Gemara has a long discussion about what Kodesh Elul really does mean. And unfortunately for us, brachas is just not one of those things that Kosher Lulav really does mean. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem and Shiurim to come, Sigis to come, Weeks to come, we're going to get a little bit of an inkling as to what Kosher Lulav really does mean. But finally, the Gemara ultimately rejects this drasha. And a long, 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 long way down, we're going to skip all the way down to the bottom of Lamed Hamed Aleph. It's about where the lines get wide, about two lines up from the bottom. Where the lines get wide, about six lines up from the bottom of the page. The Gemara finally concludes towards the end of the line. You want to know what the real, honest to goodness makor for Birchas Hananin is? Why do you make a brach before you eat food? Ela svarahu. Asala li'adam shahadam and adam azebalai bracha. That the reason, the source that we know that you have to make brachas, it's a simple svar, it's logical. You don't need a pasuk, it's logical. Because how is it that a person should dare and get hanoch in this world without reciting a bracha? Now the Gemara elaborates a little bit later on in terms of Drush, Lashem Arzim Loa, throw back to my Sebracious, because Bracha created the world, so nothing really belongs to you. That's all part of the Svara. But at the end of the day, the Gemara concludes the real honest to goodness source of Echsenenim is the Svara of Aslan Mahasra and Hebele Bracha. So something radically changed in the Sukkah. From the beginning of the sugya to the end of the sugya, our whole take, our whole outlook on Birchas Hananin radically changed. In the beginning of the sugya, we were very, very clear that we were looking at Birchas Hananin through the eyes of a deraisa. And now something changed. What exactly changed? How do we look at Birchas Hananin now? Now that we've decided that the pasuk is an amud, we skipped the whole amud. It's a good way to be mesurfing around the world. The best way to cover ground is to skip. So we learned the whole amud today. So comes the Gemara and eventually rejects the pasuk and comes up with the svara. What is the nature of that change? Is that a change just from pasuk to svara, or is that a much deeper type of a change? So if you take a look, those who got the mamakomos, those who saw the original email with the mamakomos, so there's a ritva on our sugya. But the Ritva is very, very clear as to what changes. The Ritva, those who have it in the Ritva, it's on the end of the first column of the picture that I sent, came through. So it comes to Ritva, Dibra Maslow, Svaru, Osigam Shaham, and Olam Zebel Ebracha. Perush, Bishum de Sivla Shemar, Tzimloa. Come on, I mean, what is the Svar? The Svar is like the Shbracha owns the world. Heach Yito Adam Mashin Shalom. How could you take something that doesn't belong to you? Well, you don't have a rishos, and you're not asking the Rebbe for permission. So basically, brachas is an atilus rishos. Brachas is asking Kodesh Baruch Hu for permission for the right to use what does not belong to you. The kula bracha, says the Ritva lefneim, also mehay svara. Halleluchas brachas. Everything we're going to talk about, hopefully this year, from what bracha you make on pizza, or bracha you make on applesauce, or bracha you make on grape juice, you name it, all the brachas birchas hananin, all have their roots in the svara. Even if it's something which is from the Shiva Saminim, that maybe one could have argued is a deraisa based on other things that we've missed in the sugya. Hopefully, we'll come back in the weeks to come. The Kavachom and Aliyah Lay Sigidachsiv. All the Kavachim is, the Psukim and everything that the Gemara attempted that we skipped on Lamanim and Aleph are all gone. And the only thing that's left in the sugya, Chareki Chleisakol, is the last 7-8 words that the Ritva says. Im Kein Zati Ritva, Kol Birchas Peiras Lefneim Midirachon. That's all there is right in the Mosul. I didn't say anything about Acharem, I didn't say anything about Birchas Mosul. That's a different parasha of Gamre. But Birchas Peiras before one eats, Birchas Hananin, before one partakes of this world, is not a Deraisa, it's a Derabbanan, and that's exactly what Shein Mitchilas HaSugya deserves. However, notwithstanding what the Ritva says, let's take a look at Tosis. Let's take a look at Tosis on Laman Hamad Aleph, the bottom of Tosis, and you tell me what Tosis is saying. Little small tests, 3-line tests. Well, Svaru, also Dom Shahana Bukhulay. I crawled the Nasibli El. I, the Gemara quoted a Pasuk, the Brisa quoted a Pasuk. What does the Ritva say? Lemaskona Sadvarim. What is the Pasuk? Asmach the Bialma. At the end of the day, unlike what we thought at the beginning of the Sugya, that it was a real Darasha, now the Gemara is concluding it's only an Asmach the Bialma. Because at the end of the day, the real source is the Svara. So the Pasuk is an Asfach to be Allah. The Gemara thought originally, the Lima Gomer, how did Tosfos know that? We pointed out, from the fact that the Gemara asked the Kasha, isn't the Pasuk for something else? That was what I see from me, that the Gemara thought it was a Lima Gomer, and now everything changed. So it changed from being a Lima Gomer to being an Asfach. That's why I ask you, is Tosfos saying the same as the Ritva said? What magic word did not enter into the vocabulary of Tosis?
Rabbanan.
Tosis said Rabbanan. Tosis never called it a Rabbanan. According to Tosis, what changed in the sugya was, we thought it was a mamish at Rosh and Rur Dir Aisa based on psukim, and now we conclude that it's, the psukim don't really mean it's a spach to be on, but Tosis didn't say the magic. They didn't say the dead giveaway Dir Rabbanan. So one could read the Tosis and say, oh, come on, what do you think Tosis meant? They realized that's what, everyone's going to figure out, of course that's what they mean. So that's a spach, that's not saying that's Dir Rabbanan. So the Bnei Yeshua wasn't convinced that that's what Tosfos meant. Bnei Yeshua in Ashtukya reads a tremendous Kiddush, a mind-boggling Kiddush into the Tosfos, which puts a whole new spin on Bichson and it. Comes to Bnei Yeshua and says, I challenge you, I don't think Tosfos holds Bichson and it's the Rabbanan. I think Tosfos may very well be of the opinion that Bichson and it are their Isa. Isa. But I don't understand. The Pasuk doesn't mean it, so how can it be their Isa? What's the answer, was it? How could it be the rice in the absence of a pasuk? It could be. We could fall back on halacha Moshe Messina. It's always a good thing to fall back on. The only problem is, when the Gemara wants to fall back on that, the Gemara will usually say, the Gemara will usually tell us.
Don't we often find that as far as the rice?
Oh, so says the Bnei Yeshua, maybe. What the Gemara means is something totally different. Maybe what the Gemara means is, like it says in other places, lama likra svaru. The Gemara has a sugi at the beginning of the fifth paragraph of a Kama. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know if I have a din Torah against you, I claim you owe me $100 and you deny it? How do you know I have to prove it? Maybe you have to prove it. How do you know? What's that called? How do you know? What's the source? It's like, well, then give me a post. It's like, Zeres HaKosav and Pashat Mishpatim, Vibal Dehorim Yigash Aleim, Yagish Rai Aleim. The person wants to get the money, he's got to provide the proof. Frakti Gemara Kash, yes, the one question. Lamali Kros Faro, I need a post for that. It's the portion of common sense. You know what the common sense is? Yeah. You have any dentists here? Dentists, some doctors here, right? Medical profession. The Gemara says, Lama li krosvaro. If something hurts you, go to the doctor. If something hurts you, go to the dentist. You have a problem, go deal with it. You want to get money from the guy, go prove it. That's the Gemara's cash. Lama li krosvaro. It's a mils of the pshit that's so obvious. Mehechet teisei. I walk to Bezer and say, Reuben owes me $100. Okay, great, Reuben, pay. Well, my like, mehechet teisei. You have a problem. Go take care of your problem. Go prove it. Go bring it in. So the Gemara concludes the Tachar right. You don't need a pasuk for a motzvah of a raya. It's a svar b'yama. Does that mean to say it's not a deraisa? Not at all. What the Gemara means to say is that dinah that it derived from svaras, the svaras are good svara. It's got to be a really, really good ironclad svara. But if it's an ironclad svara, then it takes on the status of being a deraisa. Nobody would argue that Motzei Chavurah Rai was made up by the Chacham. That's ridiculous. Obviously, there's the agencies of Dinim Lamed. It's a Din deraisa, notwithstanding the lack of a pasuk. So you see, Klor and Akamon, Ksuba, Fasuk, and Mishas, that have the same, you say, Lamali Kros Svara. Just parenthetically, why should that be so? Well, why should that concept even make any sense? What's the Svara of Lamali Kros Svara? I understand that because Rav gave us a pasuk in Chumash, that's a din deraisa. I got Tashvah, I got that also. I understand that because human beings came up with a good svara. That's what comes din deraisa. So the Korah, what the Gemara is saying is as follows: what the word deraisa means is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expressed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses something, that's a din deraisa. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu express His wisdom to us? So there are multiple ways that he does it. Some ways, sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses his chokmah to us b'chsav, because he dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu to write down the following words, Sukkos Teishu Shivas Yom, that's the chokmah Hashem, that's the tzivah of the Rebbeinu Shalom, written paper and pencil. And sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu expressed his tzivoy by pure teshuva peh. So Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu b'al peh, the following halacha, X, Y, and Z. It doesn't stand in Tosh B'Sah, but it's the same to Barsham. Barsham's entitled, he's the source of all Chachmah. He's entitled to decide whether he wants to transmit that Chachmah to us through Ksav, or through Baal Peh. And sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu expresses his intent to us by Svara. Namely, the Kodesh Baruch Hu created us. He created our ability to think. He Adam Nefesh Chaya Nosam Adei V'Dibra. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Koyach to think. So if we are able to come up with something that makes really, really good sense, That is the tzifa of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do things that make sense. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu put that idea into human minds, that makes perfect sense, it's a gewaltig glatzvar without any gotchas, that is the tzifa of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's also the Chochmas Hashem Yisbarach. Now, you may be wondering, just as an aside, it's an important aside, Avi Machshava, who svara decides? My svara, your svara, his svara, the other guy's svara, the people have different svaras. So the answer is, I think it's very clear, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created, first we just read in Parshas Bereishis last week, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a person with two sides. There's the chelech ha-behemah of a person, the chelech of Elok Yamimah'al. Yitzra Hashem will keep off from Adama, creates us like part of the animal kingdom, and then he gives him a neshama, and that's the definition of a person. But he also nefesh chaya, that's about das v'dibur. So sometimes, when a person expresses a svara, when a person tells you what he's thinking, you have to always be careful, where is that thought process coming from? So some people's thought process, a guy says a svara, you hear that kind of a svara, the person says, that's not a human being speaking, it's Mamsha Behema speaking. The guy gives you a svara that's roi lekach for behema to be speaking. He said, why is a person expressing a svara that's a behema speaking? Because when a person's entire life is behema, a person lives the world of a life of a behema, his values are of a behema. He eats and he drinks and he parties and that's all he does, like a behema does. So then the svaras that he says are going to be dak fakrum, they're going to be behema svaras. But if a person lives, a person lives, so then the words that come out are going to be pure logic, mamish, kaviyachal, the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking. It's going to be mamish, the Ribbono Shel Olam speaking through the svar, so Adam. So the Gemara says that if you have a good svar, that Chazal come up with, not just a random guy on the street comes up with this rabbi, Chazal determined this makes a lot of sense, that's a din min deraisa. And it's no less a din deraisa than a pasim chomish, and you don't even need a pasim. Why
does
the rift
think
that
it's their own?
Okay, give me a second. So again, let's just kind of internalize this Bnei Yeshua for a second. This is a potentially very, very different way of viewing the Chazanet. So comes the Bnei Yeshua and says, "B'das des Tosus." Tosus never ever said that Birchas Peres and Derevan. Before said it, but Tosus never said it. And therefore, it's true that something changed in the sugya. What changed was that it used to be a Jerusha, Gemura, Kaddish Lulin, it was in the Teshuvah Chsav. That's what it used to be. That's what we thought it was. And then the Gemara eventually backtracked and realized that was not correct. But just because the Gemara backtracked and realized that our first assumption was not correct, that never meant to say we're backtracking from the fact that it's Deraisa. That never changed. Birchas HaPeres is not a Deraisa. It was Deraisa. The Tchil of Sugya is Deraisa. The end of the Sugya. The only thing that's changed since the Bnei Yeshua B'das HaTosfos is that we thought it was Teshuvah Chsav, Kaddish Lulin, and now we realize it's not that. It's not even a Pasuk at all. It's not a Teshuvah Peres, this classic sense. It's a Svara B'Alma, but that Svara is really binding the Deraisa. So Judah asks, if this is so compelling, I just changed all the Chazanet for you. So now you turn around and say, why don't the Ritva realize this? So the Chor of the answer is that not every Svar is Deraisa. The Gemara offers Svaras in different places, and very few places does the Gemara ask Lam L'Kor Svarai. In order to qualify as a Svar Deraisa, to create a Din Deraisa based on Svar, it's got to be the most unbelievable, convincing Svara without any Pirchas, any Kash, any, I don't know. Is it such an absolute convincing svara? Also, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's the right, I think, a level of svara. I don't know.
It could be that it's good for the right from the Shabbat Tari and Gemara. The fact that Gemara didn't ask Lama Lissara cry.
Right. Let him to believe
had
that. That's not
disproven of the Pasa.
Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe there's also that maybe. So at Kompanim, we have two potentially very, very different takes on what Birch Zinen is all about. Here we'll give you the Ship Sicha. We're learning case of Avrach and Yeshiva with this, the Ship Sicha to the Parach. Where is Birch Zinen? Where does it come from? Is it Deraisa or Derabanim? So the simple pshat in the Halacha is, like the Ritva says, that Paschal Sigmar, it's a pure plain Derabanim. But the Yeshua is raising the question that maybe touches this. Oh, that's exactly what we're heading to. That's the direction we're leading to, right? We still don't have a dumb apartment, that's what we're heading to.
There's a big difference in the Gemara. The Havanid ordinance says that the Pasuk, Sishim Ravitch, Tunim Brachel, Hem Lachrayhem,
Lachrayhem really is the Deraisa.
It's Deraisa, we have another.
Well, the problem is that Deraisa, it's Deraisa, but not simply all the foods that the Rebbe Akiva is talking about. The rice is very, very limited. Rabbi Akiva is talking that the pasuk is talking about fruit. And the deraisa may not have anything to do with fruit. Kodesh Elul is really talking about fruit. So, I'm trying to avoid your kasha because it's going to be a whole sugya in of itself about where fruit and shivas hamidim and that kind of stuff fits into the picture. So, basically, we have two extremes in the Rishon, potential extremes in the Rishon. What I think about the deraisa. Could we come up with a third possibility? Don't call it a deraisa, and don't call it a derabana. Can you call it something else? Is there any wiggle room in between? So, Divrei Sofim is always a very, very tricky term that the Rambam employs, but they can leave you that Rambam out for now. Is there any middle category in Halacha between the Raisa? Okay, in the Raisa means that when we make the Rabbanans, we'll pattern them into the Raisa, but they're still the Rabbanans.
It's a Chiyumis.
It's a Chiyumis, that's another possibility. You might have to come up to that also a little bit later. But the word is here. The word's here. Tosfos actually invokes the word. Back to the Tais again, the bottom Tais. El Svaru, Oslam Shahane. Ukradu Nasim Yala Smachta Bialma. Says Tais, don't forget, the Halakha Tana Rabbi Akiva quoted the Pasuk. The Gemara is not rejecting the Braisa as being wrong. The Gemara is rejecting our interpretation of the Braisa. We thought that the Braisa meant it's a Deraisa, and that's incorrect, says Tais. But in the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva quoted the Pasuk. Kedi Shilula Malama Shidunim Bracha. So Tosfos says, aye, but if it's only the Rabban, it's only a Svara, whatever it is, even if it's a Deraisa and a Svara, the Pasuk doesn't mean it. So what is that Pasuk? It's an Asmachta. What does that term mean, Asmachta? So we usually think Asmachta just means, well, we want to just make sure that we don't forget the Dindar Rabban, so every time we're Mavisedra, we'll tack the Dindar Rabban onto the Pasuk, we get the Pasuk Kedoshim, Kedoshim, that's a good way to look at the case of the Lord. That's unusual. That's what most people probably think that Asmachta is. It's just a Remez B'Alma, just a nice mnemonic device, so to speak, to remember the Din D'Rabbanan, but it doesn't really mean anything in Halacha. The fact that the Gemara will sometimes go to Pasuk and eventually will conclude it's only Asmachta B'Alma, in the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything. That's what probably most of us think, and the Rambam probably thought that way also. That's what the Rambam sounds like in his Hakdamah of Pesach Mishnayis. The Ridvan Maseches Rosh Hashanah has some very, very strong criticism for such an opinion. The Ridva refers to the Shittas of Rambam, doesn't quote the Rambam by name because he's so upset about what the Rambam wrote, so he just says, Lo Kemosha Omrim, such and such. Ridva says, Chalila, right? That's not what an Asmacht is. Asmacht is not a game, Asmacht is not a way, because there are too many different Rabbanim to remember, so we made it for the device of a Pasuk as a game. Says the Ridva, it's much, much more profound than that. Says the Ridva in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah, commenting on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in Rosh Hashanah to recite Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. Imru Lufani Malchus Kedei Shetam Lechuli Aleichem. Imru Lufani Zichronos Kedei Shetal Zichronechem Lufanai. Imru Lufani Shofros B'meh V'Shalifah. The Gemara says the Ferish, Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imru Lufani Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. Frak the Ritva, that is not a true statement. It's not true. It's the Rav Hashem never said to say Machas Zechonis HaShofros. The Rav Hashem said to blow a shofar. Who made a Machas Zechonis HaShofros? The Chachamim made a Machas Zechonis HaShofros. How do I know that? It says, Rav Hashem, Fereh Shigamon HaShofar, Rav Hashem, Adal. The Gemara says, if a guy is living in Addison, out of town, some hick town in Rosh Hashanah, and he doesn't have a shofar, doesn't have a chazan, he doesn't know what to do, and he heard in one town there's a shofar, in another town there's a chazan, he can't go to both. Which one should he go to? You remember? Goes to the shofar. Why the Gemara says? Hadiraisa hadirabban. The Gemara says blowing shofar is a deraisa, not blowing shofar is only derabban. Says the Ridva, if it's only derabban, it doesn't mean Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not true. What's for Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Ridva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us in multiple ways. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us derech tzivoy, an outright explicit command, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak to us, but drops some hints along the way. Some implies to us that he would like the following to be done. He doesn't tell us to do it. It's not a tzivui. Some things are tzivuim and some things are not. He is just indicating to us that this is his ratzon, albeit not his tzivui. And that is what an asfachta says. When Chazal quote a pasuk, as an asmach to bialma, they do not mean, like the Rambam implies, that it's just a remez bialma, just a good way to remember something. But rather, it's a second level of meaning of the pasuk. That's not what they're tzivui. That's not what the tzivui the Rabbanu Shalom is. So it's not a deraisa. On the other hand, it's the rotzon Hashem, albeit without the tzivui of Hashem. I always give the mashal, remember, I quote this. Bein malacha bein bedrush, remember, I quote the famous mashal. It's given about a young couple. First night after Shabbat Brachos is over. So they're eating dinner together, and the wife says to the husband, "Can you please drop the garbage?" He's so excited. He has to drop the garbage. He goes out, throws out the garbage. Next night, she says, "Please drop the garbage again." Third night, throws it. And finally, the wife doesn't say to throw out the garbage. So inevitably, all young couples at one time, what happens? The garbage doesn't get thrown out. I was thinking this, no, tonight. And my wife had to go somewhere tonight, and I noticed that the garbage wasn't taken out, so I said, "Yesh not Dorish, we know the Kayan of Igmas says, if you give a nice drush, you don't do it, so it doesn't sound good." So I went to talk to God. I'm sure there'll be more garbage to throw out. So the guy doesn't drop the garbage. So the wife gets very upset. "Why don't you drop the garbage?" So what's his response? So he makes mistake 101, first year math. What does he say? Come on, it's not that long ago, we remember. What does he say? "You didn't tell me to." So she starts to cry. She breaks down. She goes, "Why?" What's her response? She says, "You should have known." What's the nekudas of machlokes in the husband and wife? What are they fighting about? So the husband's mindset in life is, "I do what I'm told. I'm a very good listener to what I'm told. If you tell me to do it, then I'll know what to do." And that's not enough for the wife. Why? Because she doesn't just want the tzivut. She wants the rotzon as well. She says, "I want you to do what I want you to do. Not necessarily what I told you to do." That's rotzon. That's the relation that Kodesh Baruch Hu has with us as well. That Kodesh Baruch Hu is mitzava of certain things. Asukas teisha shivisyom. It's not a rotzon, it's a tzivri. Lukshatim v'nasi adecha is a tzivri. Losasika balocha is a tzivri. And then there are other things that Kodesh Baruch Hu drops some hints along the way for us to figure out on our own. If we pick up on the hint wonderful, we don't, we blew it. I can't say we're mevatlam, it's a deraisa. I can't say we're violent, this is a deraisa. And at the end, you lost out the opportunity to the rotzon Hashem. Vos says that's exactly what it's not. So, but I ask you a question. Are smachtas the araisa? The answer is no. Are smachtas just plain the rabbanans? The answer is also no. They're somewhere in the middle. They're a ratzon Hashem, albeit without a tzivui Hashem. Are there any halachic implications of that? I have no idea yet, but we're going to find out as we go on. So again, so we have already three different takes on what brachas are all about. The guy gets up and he says, "Baruch Adonai Baruch Pre'etu." What exactly is he doing? So according to the Ritva, he is fulfilling a mitzvah that Rabbanan no different than life in Chedek. There's no deraisas, there's no slamli cross svarahus, there's no lachoshim sinai, there's no rotzon, there's nothing. He's just doing a mitzvah that Rabbanan that was instituted by the Chachmei HaTorah at one time in history, sometime between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of Yudanasi. So Chazal instituted Birchas Hananin, and they were instituted as a pure, plain and simple mitzvah the Rabbanan. That's the Ritva's Mishnah. According to the Bnei Yeshua's version of Tosfos, there is much more to Birchas Hananin than that. Birchas Hananin is Mamash Deraisa. Where's the Pasuk? I don't need the Pasuk. Where's the Lachosina? I don't need it. Well, I'm the Krosfara. And a third possibility between the lines is maybe invoking Tosfos Pshat, Tosfos word of Asmach, and not going as far as the Bnei Yeshua went. Possibly, Birchas Hananin fall into that middle, that great category of Ratzon and Torah, albeit without Tzibit. So up until now, we've been talking to Elul and Salyayim a little bit. The Raisa, the Rabbanim, we're categorizing what Birchas Hananin comes from. Tachlis, bottom line. Is there any runoff for meaning to any of this? So as Shai said, correct. We gotta begin to learn the Sugya. And the Sugya, of course, the litmus test. It's always going to be the test of whether we're dealing with the Raisa, the Rabbanim, it's obviously going to be the Sugya of Sveikis. What does that take on Suffolk Brachas? Where do we go? The guy's not sure. He made a bracha. Didn't make a bracha. Where do you go from here? So you have to look at that sugya through the eyes of everything we've been talking about for the last half hour. So let's go back to a sugya earlier in Maseches Brachas. Back to the first bracha of brachas. It's really a birchas and then in sugya that kind of gets stuck into that few days because it also relates to something about the Jewish because we kind of ended up a few brachas early. But it's really fundamentally birchas and then in sugya. So that's the base of an aleph. Just about halfway through the page, first one is pshita. That's the base of an aleph. Pshita, the Gemara says, the following bit is obvious. Hecha de konokit kosa de chamra viyadei. A person is holding a cup of wine in his hand. Because some of the shichru, he thought it was beer. This is white wine. Hotel, it's dark in the room. He thought it was beer. So he thought it was beer. Uposach umavarech adaita the shichru. And he starts off the bracha, Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, thinking that it's beer. So he's planning on reciting a shahakol. That's his goal. And then, somewhere halfway through the bracha, I guess it smells different. Not such a mumcha, it's not beer. But he realizes, wait a second, hold on. This is wine, it's not beer. V'sivi d'chamra. And he concludes the bracha, Bar Priya Gofa. So the emes is, he said a correct bracha. What's the problem? There was nothing wrong with the words that came out of his mouth. The problem was, when he started off the bracha, not just started off the bracha, but he said the bracha to Hashem, which is the major part of a bracha without Shem Hashem is a very, very big problem. That's not a bracha. So at the main part of the bracha, almost the introduction to the bracha, he had the wrong intent. The Gemara says, big deal. He's still Yotze. Why is he Yotze? Obvious. The Inami, even if he would have finished the bracha on beer, he still would have been Yotze. Why? Because if you make shachach on anything, he's Yotze. So tonight, I'll call the Rosh Hakol, the Yavidvar Yotzah, which is the famous enough man. But the Yavidvar Yotzah is everything. So truly he made a mistake. Again, verbally he didn't make any mistake, but mind-wise he made a mistake. But it's the kind of mistake, it's not going to cost him anyway. But even if he would have finished the Baruch HaShakol, he still would have been okay. So that's Peshitta. But now it gets a little more complicated. Now, Hecha Dekanochit Kosa Deshichar B'Yadri. Oh yeah, he's holding a cup of beer in his hand, because some of the Chamru, and he thinks it's wine. So now, when he opens up and he says, Baruch Ato Hashem, he's thinking what mindset? He's in a what mode?
Wine.
He's in a wine mode, he's in a Baruch Priya Gofen mode. Hasechu Baruch Adaita Techamru. He made the Baruch Hashem, I'll ask to finish up Baruch Priya Gofen. V'sim b'dishichra. But he caught his mistake before the end of the bracha, and he concludes Shachol. So now, if you follow his mindset of the beginning of the bracha, he would not be yotze v'di'evet. If you make a burpee of gofer on beer, you're not yotze v'di'evet. So my basa ika brachas lino. Do we go basa at the beginning of the bracha? Oh, basa chasimas lino. Do we follow the end of the bracha? That's the shalom of Gemara. Fascinating shalom. So again, if a guy would be listening to this fellow's bracha, he didn't send. There's no mistake. He said exactly what he's supposed to say. He concluded the bracha properly. But the potential problem was is that he started off the bracha with the wrong mindset, and the Gemara's not quite sure whether that really poses a serious problem or not. Ad kan debir. The Gemara tries really hard to bring Raya's back and forth and start to compare this to Birchas Krishma. The guy didn't realize it was a day and it was a night, and he's all tzufligin, he's making the wrong brachas. At the end of the day, the Gemara does not conclude. Well, blight put it. So actually, blight with the tanko, we don't know what the din is. So what do you do? Lamaisa, the guy did it. Halacha, the guy comes to you and he says, I was making a bracha on something. I started off the bracha thinking that it's wine. I ended up the bracha realizing it's beer. I made the red bracha. I had the wrong intent in the beginning. What do I do, Rabbi? Can I drink it or not? What do I do? It's a sofek. So comes Tosfos on your days of an aleph. Lo lasuya nama. Future of alphas. Tosfos quotes the riff. Hashtad lo ifshita bayon. At the end of the day, the Gemara does not conclude. As linen lekula, therefore we have a right to be lenient. We plug in the room called Suffolk Brachas L'Hakel, and if we take us a day, you can drink your drink. You can drink your beer, it's okay. Even though we're not 100% sure that you actually yotze the bracha properly. But Suffolk Brachas permits you to be made, and you can drink the drink. But Taisa doesn't stop here. The Ri says nothing to it. The Ri says, you're not sure whether we're Yotze Bracha or not. It's a suffix, it's a take, it's a bite, like shit in the Gemara. You can't drink that drink. You gotta make another Bracha. Suffix Bracha is an end in the Chumra. At Kazadri Ri. Quite a startling view. So, how do we size up this Machwek as the Rish of the Ri? Basic question, how do you treat Brachas? So, it sounds like what the Rif is telling us is that, well, brachas are only derabbanan, and suffik derabbanan lakula, and therefore you're not going to make another bracha, you can enjoy your wine. And the Ri is saying, nothing doing, brachas are deraisa. After all, everybody knows, brachas are deraisa, and suffik brachas on the chumra, and if you have to make the bracha over again, that would be our initial take on this thesis. Now, truth to be told, that is not conventional between this thesis. We may come back to that. There may be ultimately apshat that we're going to advance. We have to be intellectually honest and show you how the Gedolei Acharonim learned the Tosfos before we came along. We're not the first boys in the block. So there is this strange Shita Sari, very, very startling Shita Sari, where he says, you don't know what you're going to say, bracha, make the bracha again. What's pshat? Forget about my deraisis. What's pshat to me? The bracha again. Based on what am I making the bracha again? So the Magen Avraham, the Kivega references Magen Avraham and Simon Reish Tess. Magen Avraham was so bothered with this rig, was so concerned, so disturbed with the re sounds like he's saying that suffered brachas on the chumrah. Magen Avraham said, I never heard such a thing. He said, Lo yidochein davar kazeh, that suffered brachas on the chumrah. What did the re mean? Says the Magen Avraham, you have to read the re in the context of the rest of the Tosfos. So we're going to skip down a little bit to the end of the Tosfos. Same Tosfos, the very bottom of the Tosfos. There are five lines or so from the bottom. The Hiksha ben Yaakov Mikinon. Question one of the Bali of Tosfos. Ben Yaakov Mikinon. My come and violate the Habadei Mitzvah and Tshuvas Kavana. Go back to the Gemara itself. It was a strange guy was holding a cup of beer, thinking that it's wine, and Hini Muchabzum to Rabbi Priyang Ofen, and he said Brach Hashem, then he realized his mistake, and we're not sure the fact that he had the wrong intention at the beginning of the Brach, is that really important or not? In fact, the Ribi Kinon, but everybody knows we pass him, Mitzvah Zayn Shuchas Kavana, right? Don't we know that? Maybe. Mitzvah Zayn Shuchas Kavana. What does that mean? Gemara says Rosh Hashanah, a guy blows shofar, and he's practicing for the orchestra. The guy eats matzah because somebody's forcing it down his throat in his yaitze. The guy is being saying kriyishma. He thinks he's being mavaser to pasha shchan in his yaitze.
That's only if it's the rice.
Wait. We're getting. So let's just appreciate the Rimi Kinon's cash. I don't understand the guy. Tachlis, at the end of the day, was the text of the bracha said correctly? Everybody say, yes. What went wrong? A lack of intention. Says Rimi Kinon, big deal. Not partly that there was a mistaken intention. Who cares?
It's not a lack of intention.
You have the wrong intention. Oh, so you're ready to have intention. So the Re responded to Rabbi Yaakov Mikinon. Vayomiri, the Hainu b'shemeya tefila chay beis the Knesset for this kavin motzeis. Alhecha den is kavin levarach la'yayim v'nim tzeshecha l'mahadim. So the Re is a big, big difference. Says the Re. Mitzvah Zayn Tshuvas Kavanah means the guy was like blank. He wasn't having in mind to be yaitzeh the mitzvah, but it's not that he was trying to do a different mitzvah. He was walking by a shul, and he's walking and he has to hear shofar. So if you hold mitzvah Tshuvas Kavanah, he's not going to yaitzeh, unless he has a mind to be yaitzeh. If you hold mitzvah Zayn Tshuvas Kavanah, he's yaitzeh without having mind to be yaitzeh. So there, because his mind was neutral, this is significantly worse, says the Re. Because here, he's psyched up to make a very priyagofer. And now he ends up, he really is supposed to make a shahacho. That kind of kavana, which is almost what we call a kavana hafucha, it's a negative kavana, it's an anti-kavana. That kind of kavana poses a problem. And now the Gemara is just not 100% sure, does it pose a problem in the beginning of the bracha, the end of the bracha, because at the end of the bracha, everything, he did have the right kavana at the end of the bracha, he didn't have the right kavana. The latest asafa of the Gemara is this anti-negative detrimental kavana, does it really disqualify a bracha if it was only present in chivas bracha? That's the deal in the Gemara in a few days. Comes the Magen Avraham and says, if you really believe that mitzvah Zayn Tshuvas Kavanah, like the way the Rimi Kinon and the Re are sizing up the sugya, so then it's takasofik. We don't know. This antithetical kavana that you're having, can it really pose a problem? It was only b'tchilas habracha. We're not really sure. What if we play devil's advocate? What if we change teams for a minute? What if you tell me that we pass the mitzvahs what? Tzrichos kavana. Argues the Magen Avraham. If your whole mitzvah is tzrichos kavana, then this bracha is dead on arrival. This bracha is finished. This bracha is gone. You know why? Because what was the guy not being mechavin to? He wasn't being mechavin to the right thing. If you hold mitzvah saying tshichos kavanah, and you don't really need kavanah in the first place, it's just that a negative kavanah kills it for you, so then you can be in the foul belt, and negative kavanah, half the bracha, not the whole bracha, back and forth the pilgrim. But if you hold, and it's a suffix, we don't know what it means. But if you hold that mitzvah trichos kavana, so then it goes without saying that you need full 100% positive kavana, not a negative kavana rules it through, but you're lacking a positive kavana, and therefore the bracha is absolutely not acceptable. And you know what the Magen Avraham says? It turns out the entire sugya that you base them in alf only makes sense with the eyes of the man Yom mitzvah say trichos kavana. Says the Magen Avraham, but we are the realists. Upaski and mitzvah trichos kavana. So it's a whole different sugya. And it's not a suffix anymore. We who pass mitzvah trichos kavana, says the Magen Avraham, for us, a lack of the proper kavana at any point in the bracha is going to kill for you. And no bracha is null and void. Not b'teres suffix, but b'teres what? B'teres vadai. We pass b'teres vadai if you had the wrong intent, b'teres bracha is no good. Because we pass mitzvah trichos kavana.
Why is it mitzvah kavana that you need the intent from the beginning all the way to the end? Why can't you? Let's say a person wasn't paying attention and he had no kavana.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the bracha he has kavana. So that would also
that
be.
That could be a problem, right? If you really honestly believe mitzvah kavana, that could be a problem. Possibly. So look at the fancy forward the Magen Avraham did. Mamish dancing around this reed. The reed just says if a guy made this funny bracha, had in mind the wrong thing, tzach levarach. He has to make a brach again. So we thought what the Ri is saying is, well, it's a suffix of the Gemara and suffix brach of the Chumrah. So the Magen Avraham, nobody said such a thing. Nobody says brach sinan and a suffix of the Chumrah. What the Ri meant was, l'shitasu at the end of the Taisus, since we hold that mitzvah sinus kavana, therefore the lack of kavana at the beginning is possible to us, but they're not kind of suffix.
And he
said
the Ri follows Israel's kavana?
And the Ri, I don't know, maybe the riff had a different shot. I don't know what the riff is. I'm not sure what says the Magen Avraham. I don't know. But all the Magen Avraham, for our purposes, what the Magen Avraham is saying is that don't make too much out of the Rishita. Don't tell me if a guy did that according to the Ri. Somebody brought us on the Chumrah. There's no such sheet, and nobody holds it. Somebody brought us on the Chumrah. All the Ri said is that it's not a suffix for us, it's a Vaday for us. It's a Vaday that you have to make it in the Bracha. So you can see how the Magen Avraham was so opposed to even the concept, the dream of saying that Brach Zanen and Adaraisa, even the Ri who at first glance seemed to indicate that, can't be. What are you talking about? That's the Zesh Tech in Magen Avraham. For both sides, again, it's hard for us to take on Magen Avraham. We could offer another Pshat in the Ri. We could potentially offer that the Ri really means that's a Shah of Adaraisa. And according to what the Pnei Yeshua said, that would put the Ri right in sync with who?
Tosos.
With the Tosos, not with Hebel Alf. Now, most of the Tosos with the Tamim and the Ri. So it's quite possible that she said Tosos, both on Daf Yud Beis and Alf through the eyes of the Ri, and on Daf Lamed and Aleph through the eyes of the Tosos, are expressing this alternate view. That Safek Brachas is Lachumra because Brachas and Nenim are in fact their Isa. It's possible. I didn't say it's Mukha. I don't have a Rishon that says it black and white. I have a possibility of the Ri, if you don't go down the Magen Avraham's route, I have a Peshua's reading of a Taisus that may or may not be the correct way of reading a Taisus. I have two possible Taisus that may be pointing in this direction. But now at least we have enough community to seek a thief in them. Because if Brich Zanenet is their Isa, then you have to go to Chumrah. Brich Zanenet is their Abad, and then presumably you have a right to go to Kula. What if you go down that middle ground? The route that we created, remember the third possibility, the tightrope, that's an asmachta. What do you think about that? What if Bruch Zenen are an asmachta? What would you say about something Bruch Zen? You have this pasuk of Kadesh Rulu staring in the face, but the pasuk doesn't really mean it. What do you think the din should be? This is not a Bruch Shah, this is called a Tarapulu Shah. What are you doing? You have a suffix on a din that's an asmachta.
You say it's Ratzon Hashem.
So the Chora, it should depend on the Ram and the Riva. What you think asmachtas are. If you only like the Rambam, then asmachtas don't mean anything. Asmachtas are just mnemonic devices, but they're just plain, simple derabanas, that they're bound by the regular rules of Softer Malakula. But if you're into this Ratzon Hashem story, if you're into this Ritva's idea that asmachtas are much, much more than just derabanas, they're really a manifestation of Ratzon Hashem, so then one can argue, well, I can't risk violating the Ratzon Hashem. I may have to be machmir on the Ratzon Hashem, the same way I have to be machmir on the Tzivui Hashem. So now, to sum up what we have here, we have three different mahals and three very, very different roads to what our take on Brich Zanenet is. Is Birchas Hanan a regular deraisa learned after Svaras? Is Birchas Hanan a regular derabban nothing to do with anything? Or is Birchas Hanan a smach? If it's deraisa, then it's got to go l'chulu, which may be what the Riyah is saying. If it's a derabban, like the Ritvada, it's obviously the kula. If it's an smach, then we're not quite sure where smach this leads us. But basically, I want to reanalyze the shadow, though. I have an apple in front of me, and I'm not sure whether I was Yotzei the Bracha. So, with the exception of the Ri, all the other Rishonim say you can eat the apple. So they eat the apple. No problem eating the apple. Shulchan Aruch, we pass, you can eat the apple. If you're not sure whether Yotzei the Bracha, so Bracha's Lachol, nobody passes. You can eat the apple. Who sees the problem? How can you eat the apple? You're in a suffix violation of Aslanas Menal Zakhli Bracha. What right do you have to be violated in Isserus?
You don't have in mind, depending on why, if it was Yayin Shabbat, you're still doing Hillel on the show.
No, I mean, I guess, leaving out this wallet, a guy Pasha doesn't remember the Minute Bracha. He's holding the apple, he's about to make a Bracha, and then he gets a phone call. And then he's looking at the apple a minute later and I think, I can't even remember to make the bracha.
He still has it in mind that it's from Hashem.
He has it in mind, but that's not a bracha. So Yivamish doesn't know if there's a 50% chance of being a bracha. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's called, so if you can eat the apple. How can you eat the apple? You're already gross, flagrant violation of all songs about the apple. What do you think the answer to that question is? There's a simple answer, then there's a longer answer. What's the simplest answer to that question? You're in violation of Aslanas and the
Rabbanon.
The whole issue is only the Rabbanon. What's the Ritva say? The Ritva says at the end of the day, the whole thing is the Rabbanon. This is also the Rabbanon. So it's a suffix, it's the Rabbanon. It's like eating suffix bishlakim. If you have eggs, I'm not sure that the guy cooked or the Jew cooked. You're allowed to eat it, the Shach says. Suffix bishlakim. So it's a suffix violation of Aslanas and the Zephyr, brother. Could I say something a little fancier? Could I pull off the following stuff? Could I say to you, that when you have a situation of a suffix brachas, that there's no issur of lahadas on a zebli bracha, not b'ter a suffix. Sounds like it's like the time of Sheh Shmaitis again. But we have the what? B'ter is vadai. When there's a suffix brachas, the issur of Osli Hanos falls by the wayside, not because it's a 50-50 chance whether in violation of the issur, but when there's a suffix brachas, that if it's Vadai, there's no Isser. What's the missing link? Why that should be so? We have a little work to do. A couple of weeks ago, I don't remember which one it was, one of the weeks before you on the front, middle of the night, I forgot already. So I gave a shiur, and I was saying something about suffering the Yom Tosheni, and I said some kind of a line about some brisket tire about how a suffering Yom Tosheni is a suffering there's Vadai, or a Vadai there's suffering, I don't remember what it was. Someone who was not from the community, the guest was here, sends me an email after the shop, whatever it says. He says, you can't get more brisk than that. Did you hear what you just said? He says to me, he said, you said something is usher as a suffix with her vadai. He said, yeah, that's what it sounded like. Okay, that's exactly what I'm saying, everybody say. Can I pull off the following stunt and say to you that when I have an apple in front of me and I have absolutely no clue whether I made the bracha, 50-50 chance, so the shaking shook off like the riff, you don't make another bracha. The guy's clapping al chayk about maybe in violation. Also, let us know. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's not a piece of the Torah's bond. How do you explain that? So, basically, this shayla that I'm posing now gets the heart and soul of Daf Lamed Hey, really, in a sense, the essence of our very, very first sermon. But basically, we had some funny habits. We had some funny habits where Brechtan Yannick comes from. Sukkin, Masla. But at the end of the day, the buck stops here with the Svara. Also, let us know. Yesh Lachbar, Rabbi said, let's raise the following shalom, and the following basis. What's the nature of the relationship between the Svara and the subsequent obligation to recite a bracha? I can understand this in one of two ways. The Svara, this Isser, also a Hasel of the bracha, if you want to call it a smachta, whatever you want to call it, it is an independent statement of truth. It has its roots, mamish back from Bria Soilu. Also, the other husband of Bracha. The starting point is, you cannot, you're a Goslin. It's not yours. Hashem Arts Allah, Bria Soilu, it's not yours. That is the starting point. Also, the other husband of Bria Soilu. The starting point of the world is you can't be nether from this world. We have to think, come up with some kind of an idea that's going to be mapped to the system. What's going to be mapped to the system? We're thinking. What could possibly be mapped to the system? It's Takapella. Precious Paul Kim Shavat and Loya. What could be mapped to the system? What's the answer? He saw already. We've already had a Moshe a little bit. He said, if I come into your house and I walk into your fridge and I take something to eat, I'm a gazlan. But if I ask your permission, then I'm a guest. That's what the Ritva, that's what a bracha is. A bracha is the solution to the problem. The problem predates all his brachas. The problem started from my separations. Hashem Artsim Loya, Aslam Hasman Amazeh. Bracha is the solution to that pre-existing problem. Or maybe there's a different twist. I don't understand. Aslam Hasman Amazeh Bracha. Hashem created such a beautiful, wonderful world. You have the possibility to recite a bracha, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Bari Olam, and you chose not to? You know what we say about such a person? You, who could have made a bracha, and you didn't, you know what we call you? You're a violation of what? Also the Hanas Menos Evely Bracha. Everyone see the twist? Everyone see the change? The change in direction. What's the chicken? What's the egg? What starts? Everyone agrees that it's an issur l'hamazeh. Everyone agrees you have to make a bracha and that solves the problem. How do you understand the relationship between problem and solution? Does the problem predate the solution? Does an independent issur called l'hamazeh l'hamazeh and bracha is the solution to that independent problem? Or is the solution, in a sense, the creation of the problem? Because that existence of Hilchas Brachas was there and staring you in the face, you could be made into the Rebbeinu, you could acknowledge the Rebbeinu, and you didn't. That is the violation of Asur L'Hanos. It's not a pre-existing violation. It's a violation because of the possibility of Hilchas Brachas. My nefkamina. It's a very, very fine line between the two. My nefkamina are both saying.
If you can't make a brach for someone.
What if you have a situation where I want to eat this apple, and Hilchas Brachas dictates, don't make a bracha. What do I do now? Hilchas Brachas is screaming at me and saying, don't make that bracha. So if you hold the first child, there is an independent prohibition called Asur L'Hanoseh Bli Bracha that predated the solution of brachas. I have to be matzeh that issur before I can eat the apple. And if you can't be matzeh that issur, then you can eat the apple. Now at the end of the day, we may let you eat the apple. You know why we may let you eat the apple? Because we may say to you, listen, we're not 100% sure that this issue even applies to you, because there's a 50% chance you may have made a bracha, but you just don't remember. And it's only an issue of drabban anyway, it's not an isa. So it's only an issue of drabban anyway, we're not going to be any more machba on you than we are on the guy who can't remember whether the eggs were cooked by a goy or not. So at the end of the day, we may be mocked to you to violate the system, but it's only a suffix issue of drabban anyway. But if you want to know in Shemayim, if the person violated also the Almahasas of the Bracha, what's the answer? A 50% chance yes. Now we gave you the green light to do that, but there's a 50% chance you violated this. If you go down the other route, the other route says that the problem doesn't pre-exist, doesn't predate the Bracha. The problem only becomes a problem because the solution is in front of you, but Mandabramamurim and the solution is in front of me. When the solution is not in front of me because Hilchas Brachas dictates you can't make a bracha, you're not allowed to make a bracha. Somebody brachas lahokel would be a chashash for bracha lebatala if you made a bracha b'safek. V'chiyagav, you can't make a bracha. What disappears b'ter is vaday? The isser, there is no independent isser. The isser is neveya from the mitzvah's bracha. But the mitzvah's bracha doesn't exist and the isser doesn't even exist. V'chlal, b'ter is vaday, doesn't exist. Rabbi Sai, what we just created are two very, very different models of Hilchas Brachas. What we just created is almost two diametrically opposed ways of looking at the Parashat Brachas. We know that all of Halacha is broken down, there are essays and there are los essays. Some things are only essays, and some things are only los essays, and some things are combinations of the two. Hilchas Brachas is almost a compound of these two worlds. There's an essay here to make a bracha with Rabbanan. There's a violation here to eat without making a bracha. And the question is, what's the chicken, what's the egg? What's going on what? Is Hilchas Brachas fundamentally Isurim, and now a bracha is the solution to how to get around that Isur? Was it those brachas fundamentally positive? Recite a bracha, and you chose, or could have made a bracha and chose not to, therein lies the Isur. So does the asay address the Isur? Or does the Isur, in a sense, come into existence because of the asay? Those are two very, very different ways of learning those brachas. So we have our work cut out for us now, because this really sets the stage for the longest of the first sugya, how to understand the shakrat, how to understand the bottom line of what the relationship between reciting a bracha and this Isur is all about. So hopefully we're going to have to look a little bit through those brachas, some details of those brachas that may shed some light on this topic. And then, this topic is a real shastak, it's a kol ta'akul topic. Because this model of having something that has combinations of positive and negative is not just true of those brachas. We could probably think of many, many other examples in halacha where we have this kind of combination of different factors. And as Henry said before, called the tikkun rabbanon came deraisa tikkun, the rabbanons are very often patterned after deraisas. So it may force us to do some creative thinking, to think of some kind of deraisa scenarios that also have these two components to them, which may shed some light on how Chazal actually formulated this bracha. So next week, we'll try to analyze a little bit more conceptually what the relationship between the Isur, the Vinyana, and the Mitzvah brachas, which direction, what's causing it.